Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Parkmanship Podcast. My name is Ryan, and I'm with my co-host today, Andrew. Andrew, how's it going?
Pretty good. You know, it was a strange morning, but it's great now.
That's good.
Yeah, I got a little fender bender. Some guy decided at a stop sign to back into my Jeep full force. Yeah, my car is fine. He's just got a messed up bumper. Like solids. Yeah, you know. Look where you're going is the lesson of the day.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hop into story of the week. I'm going to give a little update on Yellowstone here first. So as of July 12th?
Yep.
All right. There's a news release about Yellowstone flood recovery update. 93% of the roadways, 88% of the backcountry will be open on July 13th, tomorrow. It takes an incredible amount of time and effort to get the park open this fast because the damage was extensive. I think you shared the video of the stuff on our Instagram or somewhere.
I think it might have been Facebook.
Facebook, that's what it was.
Maybe it was Instagram stories. I forget.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's hard to keep track.
One of those meta ones.
Yep. But it looks like the north and northeast entrances of SIDS is still on the website as closed. But this looks like it might open those.
No, it won't.
Remain close. Yeah, yeah.
The two northern ones are open to foot traffic, but not vehicles.
That's what it was, yeah.
Yep.
Anyway, and then temporary and extreme limited access to the north entrance to Mammoth Hot Springs, which I think is a big tourist site, yeah?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. You can always download the National Parks app on iOS or Android to keep up to date with that stuff if you're going to visit. I highly recommend it, so...
I have to be honest, I'm still not that big of a fan of the app.
It's navigating, looking for park, like searching for parks in different states is kind of, the search engine is kind of dumb. But the info on it's pretty great. It's basically, it's the mobile website, but without going to the website. So
I mean, it's good for researching, but I do most of my research before I leave and therefore on my laptop and not on my phone.
Yeah, but sometimes I'm like, I'll like try to explain where a park is. It's nice to show it on their map that's interactive in there to somebody.
I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, you could like search by state and it pulls up a map and then you can zoom out and it'll show you all the parks near it. It's kind of nice.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I'll have to try that then.
Yeah, and you had a story for us, right?
Yes, I did. So the current defense spending bill that's being debated in Congress right now, it turns out it has a section that would establish a study to see if it's feasible to make the Voting Rights March from Selma to Montgomery Trail a new national park site. And it would That's be a big. National Historic Trail. So, yeah, if that stays in the final bill, it's only a study. So it's still far away from being a national park site. But normally studies pretty reliably lead to actual national park site status. So it's a long way to go, but just something to keep track of.
Hopefully they don't do what they did with the Freedom Trail. Is it the Freedom Trail in Boston that has the blue line throughout the city? You know what I'm talking about? There's like a blue line that runs through Boston.
I don't think it's blue. Like there's some like slightly colored...
I thought it was blue.
Footpaths. It's not blue. It's not that noticeable even.
Yeah, but once you follow it, it's kind of like zigzagging. Hopefully they do something really nice if it does become an actual park site. Like a nice walkway with like your favorite signs.
On the waysides.
Yeah, the waysides. Yeah. Well, that's pretty much up to date on the news, I think.
Yeah, we got our two stories in, so we're good for that section.
Yeah, let's talk about what's going on in this episode. It's season 2, episode 2. We're gonna do a little bit of a flashback to our California trip, and that was what 2018.
September 2018.
Yeah.
And we did a lot in this trip, so we're going to do a two-part episode for this. So this episode is only going to cover the first half of our trip.
Yeah.
But we were based in Los Angeles. That's where we had our base camp, essentially. And do you remember the flight in at all?
I remember we got off the plane at LAX, hopped in the rental car, and went to In-N-Out. That's all I remember.
That's all I remember as well. I don't remember the flight in. I just remember hopping into the rental car and zooming away to the nearest In-N-Out, which there was one right down the block.
Yep. I do remember LAX as being a logistical nightmare, though, on the way back, but we'll get into that late in the next episode.
I don't remember this.
Remember when we had to get off the, we took a bus and from the rental car to the place, and it was literally 90 Ubers trying to get up the one ramp and cutting each other off?
No, I don't remember this.
Oh, really? Oh, it was a nightmare. We had to walk up to the LAX entrance with our suitcases, and for some reason, I travel without a suitcase without wheels.
Not a smart move. That is true. I do. that is true. Not a smart way to go about it.
No. Do you remember anything from the flight in? I don't think anything happened. Oh, was that the trip with the lady with the headphones? Do you remember the lady?
That might have been the way back.
No, that was the way there. She couldn't figure out her headphones. And I was just sitting there watching her buy two pairs of headphones. And then she realized she was kept on plugging into my input and was getting upset with the flight attendant saying the TV didn't work. But I was just kind of sitting there quietly watching it happen because I thought it was funny and entertaining. Yeah, she bought three pairs of headphones at $15.
Yikes.
I mean, it was funny. Well, let's do a quick detour. In-N-Out, what do you think?
Compared to In-N-Out's amazing. In-N-Out has better burgers
than
Shake Shack. Shake Shack has better fries.
Yeah, I agree with that statement. The little key that we learned out there is to get everything animal style. With all the fixings, I guess.
All the good sauce and stuff. Yep.
Yeah.
this was actually after my second time to...
No, it was your second time to In-N-Out, you're going to say, right? Because you were there earlier
No, it was my first time. This is my second time to Los Angeles. And we tried going the first time I was there. And the one we went to, the line was wrapped around the building and we had to catch a flight. So we did not go. I was very disappointed. So that was my first time going to an In-N-Out.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to go back to an In-N-Out once we're out there, hopefully next year, I think is our plan. But
yeah,
after In-N-Out, we decided to drive to the Santa Monica Mountain Range Visitor Center, the recreational area, right?
Yeah, Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area.
That's what it's called. That was an interesting visitor center, to say the least. I think I have a photo of you in a concrete tube for some reason from there.
I do. I love that picture. Yeah. But yeah, that was an exhibit about wildlife living in an urban environment.
Yeah.
Just because one of the things the Santa Monica Mountains are famous for is that they have mountain lions there. And it's very rare for big cats to live in an urban environment. It's one of only two places in the world. I forget where the other one is.
Yeah. Yeah, that was it was was there a church on that site? It was it looked like it.
Yeah. A lot of the architecture on that campus, it's the King Gillette Ranch
District. That's what it's called. Yeah. Yep.
But a lot of the architecture has that old Spanish, Christian Catholic style.
Adobe, right? It's clay adobe.
I don't know if that's what it's called, but
it's built like that because it's
very unique.
Yeah, definitely, unique to the area. I mean, that was a small little hike we did there, around there, which was pretty nice. I remember there was like a fenced off area you tried to go around.
Yeah. But before that, though, I think we skipped over two things about the visitor center. First of all, they had those really
peak t-shirts that I was thinking about getting and didn't get, and I
really regret not getting. And two was when we were getting to leave, there was that really obnoxious lady harassing the Rangers.
That's right. Yeah.
And then we went outside and found a Humvee parked in the compact car parking spot.
Oh, that's like, right.
And we're like, who's this? And then that lady walked out.
Yeah, it was all like tinted and like weirdly decorated. I do remember that. It had the fucking, the back window had a, the back window had a tramp stamp. I remember that. Oh my god, I forgot about that. I also bought my first pin there.
Yeah, it had a nice gift shop.
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, but moral of the story is don't be rude.
Yeah. Like, I don't even know why you went out.
Follow
the
signs and don't be rude.
Yeah. Yeah. We stayed in Thousand Oaks that night, which is just around the corner.
Yeah, but let's go back to the trail first that we did.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So it was the trail to Inspiration Point, which I thought it was just a cool introduction to the park. It went right past some of those buildings. We may have gone through a part we weren't supposed to go to, but whatever. But yeah, cool view.
No, we definitely went to somewhere we weren't supposed to.
We didn't see any signs, though, that told us not to go there. We just... Kind of got lost.
Yeah.
But yeah, there were some cool views of the mountains, like Sandstone Peak, but there's much better views elsewhere in the park, I think.
Yeah.
Got our picture with the sign, though. And we, on the way, it was either to the visitor center or from the visitor center, we found our rental car had the seats with the AC in them.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
Oh, and so great.
The AC... cool steering wheel too.
Yeah,
that was great.
But the seats was the coolest part. Yeah, and it was perfect for the environment because it gets pretty hot there in September.
Yeah, it was pretty gross. I remember coming straight from New York, fall weather to lower California is definitely a difference.
Oh, big difference.
Yeah, we stayed in Thousand Oaks and then we met our friend in Hollywood for drinks. Yeah. Brandon, if you're listening, hi. But going back to that, we parked in downtown LA, right? Like near the Chinese Theater.
Yeah, on the Hollywood Strip, pretty much.
Yeah, and we wandered around because we had time to meet up with him. I think we ended up at a Buffalo Wild Wings.
We did, and there was a U.S. World Cup qualifier on that we watched.
Oh yeah, that's right. I don't remember
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah, it was pretty great. I will say about the LA Strip is the most touristy kind of disappointment like area, because like it pictures and stuff, it looks really cool, and then it's literally like two buildings that look really cool, and the rest is kind of like homeless people sleeping on the sidewalk.
Oh yeah, it's the most overrated thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's literally like two blocks and then the rest of it is Scientology buildings.
Oh, I
and homeless people.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah. We went to some knockoff Star Wars cantina.
Scum and Villainy cantina.
Right? Is that where we ended up?
Yeah, and this is before This
was
before they opened the Disney World stuff.
Yeah, it actually had no licensing.
Yeah.
Everything was kind of off-brand, which was really funny. Yeah, it was good. I mean, I will say downtown LA kind of sucks because we tried to do the Griffith Observatory as well.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah, and we drove all the way up. There was no parking, so they sent us all the way back down, and we're like, yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, and there was and doing left-hand turns in Los Angeles, just impossible.
Yeah,
like there's no help from the lights or anything.
LA kind of sucks, honestly.
LA proper does. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, LA proper. It's not to bash on it, but like it has a huge homeless problem too.
Wait, that's what you got out. We didn't notice that many homeless people.
No, but like when we got when we got
that's
on,
what you
on
got out of this.
Yeah, on and off the highway.
There's so many other reasons to hate LA.
No, one of the biggest things was like getting on and off the highway. There were definitely tent cities underneath, which is really unfortunate because like LA's got a lot to offer, like beaches and stuff like that. But where we were getting to the Griffith Observatory was kind of a nightmare.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a huge nightmare.
Yeah. Like it was like we'd be at the same light for like, I don't know, 6 rotations of the light turning red and green.
Yep. So yeah, let's enough with LA.
Yeah, let's talk about Caesar. Let's talk about our little off adventure to a National Monument.
Yeah. Before that, though, we did stay in 10,000 Oaks, as you said, and we stayed at the Best Western Plus there.
Oh, it was nice. Yeah, I liked that one.
I did. It was nice.
I was upset when every time I asked them for a diner, they pointed to me at Denny's, though. That was kind of insulting.
Yeah, they don't have diners in California.
That's a big thing for me is diners. But yeah, let's talk about our visit the next day, right?
It was the next day.
How long was that drive?
Yeah, it was probably around like 3 hours.
Yeah, the Caesar,
definitely not more than that though.
Yeah, it's a Caesar E. Chavez National Monument.
Yep.
It was beautiful there. It was in the middle of nowhere though.
Yeah, middle of nowhere. The visitor center was had a small bookstore and a museum that was, I think, made out of one of Cesar Chavez, who was a labor rights leader. Mm-hmm. It was made out of one of his old offices, so that was pretty cool.
Yeah, they had a really cool fountain out back, and like a lot of cool like, no, I don't want to say wildlife,
gardens.
But like gardens, I guess is the best way to put it. I if you're in the area, it's cool. It's not something I would recommend driving 3 hours out of the way for, but you know.
Yeah, I thought it was like I wouldn't go out of my way for it like we did. And I kind of wanted more, especially when the first things we saw on the way in was that Be Bear Aware sign. And I thought like, oh, we're gonna get some like hiking in.
No, there's no
hiking. But then a few weeks later, I looked at some online maps and I realized if you continued on past the gardens that had all like the local flora.
Yeah.
Flora, the fauna is the animals.
Animals. Yeah, yeah.
I realized that there are trails beyond the garden. So that's a big sad.
Yeah, but it was in like a hot valley.
Yeah, it was like... it was a mountain. No, it wasn't really a valley. It was mountainous, but like arid.
Yeah.
Not really a desert, but it, like almost a desert.
Yeah. Did we also do that other hike that day or did we come back?
Yeah. So we came back. I forget where we ate. We must have ate somewhere.
Was it that shitty diner that we found in that Target parking lot?
Whoa, language.
I mean, it was really bad. It was really bad. They had a drive-through. That should have been our first red flag.
Oh no! That was in Yorba Linda later in the trip.
Oh, that's right.
That's for the next episode. But we did Sandstone Peak this evening.
Yeah, but we ate lunch somewhere, didn't we?
We must have.
We must have ended up back at In-N-Out because I think the first time.
Yeah, I must have. That
sounds because we drove down the LA coast, right?
Did we?
Yeah, because I kept on making fun of the places that had eggs in their name.
Oh,
I don't remember why. I found it really funny.
I think the moral of this trip is if we don't remember where we ate, it was at In-N-Out.
Yeah,
we went there so many times.
Yeah, I think it was like or. I remember we stopped for gas in front of like this giant dinosaur. Like,
I do remember this.
Yeah, like I coming on the outskirts of LA,
and that's where I learned that there's the arrow, and whatever car you have, there's the arrow that points to what side the gas tank is on.
Yeah, I do remember that. Then I drove us somewhere. I think it was In-N-Out on the coast. Yeah, it sounds about right. I think we were trying to get as much In-N-Out as possible. Yeah, we'll go through. Yeah, but let's go back.
But the
Sandstone Peak hike.
Yeah, so Sandstone Peak is the highest point in the Santa Monica Mountains. You can get to it from the Circle X Ranch. And Andrew, how did we get to Sandstone Peak?
Me white knuckling, gripping the steering wheel on a.
No, I drove.
I
drove.
Yeah, you drove that one. I still white knuckled the crap out of the crap handle that was keenly above my head and refused to look outside. I am very not good with heights. Like, I don't mind. I don't like being close to the edge. Like, hiking heights is fine. Being on the edge, not so great. Do not enjoy. 0 out of 10.
So yeah, the Circle X district of the Santa Monica Mountains is the most remote district of the park. And yep. to get there, you do have to go on this like crazy hairpin turn road in the middle of nowhere that's right on the mountain, which if you're not afraid of heights is pretty cool. But if you are afraid of heights, it could definitely be very nerve wracking.
Yeah, you tried to make me drive and I said no. I do remember that.
Did I? Because I did this drive before and I loved it.
Yeah, because we switched at some point.
Later in the trip.
Yeah, I mean, that hike was a lot of fun.
It's one of my favorite hikes, anywhere, because I did it the previous year as well. And I just love how it emerges into a desert climate until you get this, like, beautiful viewpoint of the Pacific Ocean. It's the first time I did it, it was the first time I ever saw the Pacific Ocean. So that was pretty cool. Was it this hike or the year previously when I did it myself where we came up behind someone who just saw a big snake? Was I with you for this?
No, it was the previous one. I took that photo that ended up on the National Parks website. Instagram.
What?
Yeah, or the... Which one was it? I took a picture of the valley that ended up on the... What's the contest every year?
That didn't end up on there.
Yeah, it did.
No, it didn't.
It ended up on the website. Yes, it did. It didn't end up on the Park Pass, but it was featured. You sent it to me.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. I'm going to find it now. I'm proving you wrong. I know you did.
You're making stuff up now.
No, I'm not. 100%. You sent it to me. I'll find it later. Anyway, back to the story. It was the overviewing outlook.
What?
One of my favorite photos was taken up there is the moral of the story.
Okay.
Yep.
Also a bunch of lizards up there.
Oh yeah, there were tons.
So yeah, then we descended and went for dinner.
Wasn't there a log book up there?
There was.
Yeah.
I signed it.
I do remember that. Yeah. I had a lot of good photos up there. I do think it's very scenic going before we go down, you know, the other path, but definitely worth the hike. It's not a long hike either.
No, it's surprisingly not. It's the peak is at like 3,000 something feet in elevation, yeah. But it's only like a 3 mile hike up.
Yeah, it's like 45 minutes, an hour.
Yeah.
Down, it definitely feels a lot shorter going downhill. But yeah, no, that was good. And we ended up back in at our hotel, and they had an Italian restaurant next to it.
Yep. Which I do not know the name of because it has since been closed down.
Oh, that's unfortunate. That was pretty good there.
I thought it was just okay. I forget what I got.
I think you got like chicken parm because I think that's your go-to Italian dish.
Normally is. That's what I definitely got at the place we'll talk about in the next episode.
I forgot that place. All right, that's a whole like 10-minute debacle story. Yeah, we turned in for the night, and then we went to one of the most remote places up to that point we've been to.
Yeah, and still one of the most remote national parks in the country.
Yeah, the Channel Islands. Channel Islands farther out than Dry Tortuga?
No, Dry Tortuga is farther out.
That's what I thought.
I thought so, Channel Islands was like a like an hour ferry ride or so. Dry Tortuga is like a 2 hour plus.
Yeah, that one kind of sucked though. The Dry Tortuga one compared to this one. This one was like on a high speed boat, if I remember correctly, and we sat on top.
Well, I think not really. They're both they're both the same speed. They both have refreshments. I think the difference is there's a ton of wildlife that you can sightsee or view for on the way to Channel Islands that you cannot in Dry Tortuga.
That's probably
whales. No whales. I think we saw dolphins.
That's what it was.
And we saw seals too.
Oh yeah, the seals in the bay. Yeah. You remember that really ugly painted truck when we got there?
Oh, I don't know if that was painted or just like rusting and deteriorating.
I don't know if it was painted, covered in sticker. I have a photo of it. I'll find it because I found it really cool. But we got there. People were there unpacking when we got there because the boat came in earlier that day because they camped on the islands.
Yeah. Yeah. We did not. But camping is a popular option to do.
Yeah. You need to book it in advance, right?
I mean, you have to book in advance no matter what, if you're camping or you're not.
Yeah. But like, I feel like that one would fill up not as bad as Dry Tortuga, but I feel like that one's a popular thing to do there.
Yeah.
We took the ferry ride there, and then we got to the Channel Islands.
Yeah, and on the ferry ride there, I did the old, it's 5 p.m. somewhere, even though it's 9 a.m., and ordered myself a beer.
I do remember that.
I got some looks from the person giving me the beer.
Yeah, they were very concerned because it was like 9 o'clock in the morning,
and there was no water on the island. It was bring your own water in.
Yeah, thing to talk about Channel Islands. You only can go to the one island, right? There's multiple islands, but
I think there's like three or four that you can go to, but you can only go to one per day.
Yeah.
So we went to Santa Cruz.
Yeah, there was a lot of wildlife there. A lot.
Yeah, I mean, there was the lizards that are everywhere.
Yeah, and then they had like these, I don't remember, it was like there was a wayward sign when you got off that had like a list of wildlife, but it was a small mammal, but I don't remember what it was called.
Oh, well, we will we'll get to that.
Yeah.
But we started off with there's that old, not old, but there's that visitor contact station that was kind of small, but it had my stamps, so I got those.
Yep, I remember that.
And then I had a bunch of Wallace Stegner quotes on signs. Not really informative, but like cool thing to check in for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And then we just went on a hike along the cliffs on the coastline.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I've never seen water that deep blue.
Yeah. I mean, it turned like turquoise at points, too.
Yeah, it was a very big range. I think, is Santa Cruz the biggest island?
I think so.
Yeah, I remember we saw I don't know if it was a lighthouse off to the right side of the island or if it was like a station. Do you remember that?
I think I vaguely remember that.
But the Santa Cruz has got this, with the island, it's got these sheer cliff faces towards the back of it, which are really cool.
Yep.
Got some great photos there. That was a really fun hike. It was long, but it was fun because there wasn't much beach to relax on.
Yeah, I want to say it was like like 3 miles or so, but we only had 5 hours between when the ferry dropped us off and when we had to meet the ferry back again to go back to the mainland. But yeah, so we did this 3 mile hike and then we went back to like the main campus area of where we were dropped off and where everybody was camping and stuff. And that's where the island's most infamous creature tends to hang out, the island foxes.
That's what they were. I couldn't remember. But you're not, there's a very clear sign you're not supposed to leave food on the ground and stuff like that because they want to preserve the wildness of the foxes. Because they're notorious for stealing people's stuff.
Though them and the like gigantic ravens that live there. Yeah. They were just massive.
They were big.
Like they and those guys could like open backpack zippers, like some sort of like descendant of the Jurassic Park raptors.
They remind me of the ravens at Everglades, except they didn't eat the rubber off your car.
Yeah. But yeah, the ferry people and the rangers warn you very specifically to not let any of your belongings down because the foxes and ravens will get to it. But the ravens are creepy. The island foxes are...
They're everywhere. They're endemic. So
you can only find the island foxes on the Channel Islands and nowhere else in the world. So definitely something you want to see while you're there.
Yeah, Channel Islands is like one of those... The wildlife hasn't changed for thousands of years because it's been so remote.
Yeah, there's tons of endemic species.
Yeah, on the island. And they're still finding like bugs and stuff that are only exclusive to the island.
Yeah.
Do you remember when we got to the beach, there was a guy in a boat who was trying to park there and the rangers were yelling at him?
Yep.
Yep. Because I guess that's a thing you could do in California. Just go that far out with your, you know, your leisure craft. But would not.
We weren't that far out.
No, I mean, we're a couple miles out, it felt like.
Maybe oh, a definitely lot. A couple miles.
Yeah.
But yeah, then we must have eaten a little bit, and then we kind of went to the hills on the other side of the area and kind of just hung out there for a while.
Yeah, I remember sitting down, just kind of laying in the grass.
Yep. Kind took of it easy cliffs. Until yeah, the ferry came back.
I feel like you were reading a book.
I feel like I was too.
I don't remember what it was. But yeah, we headed back to our vehicle. Was that? And didn't we go on a Target trip that day after? Or was that the day after?
That was the day after. We did make like a brief run to get firewood because we were camping that night.
Oh, I remember this. Yeah. We went camping. We drove the Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah.
We stopped at some like mom and pop grocery store.
Yep.
Where they got very confused when we handed them Connecticut license for liquor.
Yep. I was really tired, so I got cranky.
Yep. I for some reason we got a pretty good site, but like I remember service was non-existent in that area, even though it was like right off the Pacific Coast Highway.
Yeah, so we stayed at Point Mugu State Park, which is actually part of Santa Monica Mountains National Recreation Area. It's just run by the state in coordination with the National Park Service.
Oh, okay.
And it was in Malibu, so we can say we stayed the night in Malibu.
Yeah. I remember there was a ton of vans and stuff parked on the ocean side, like camping. You know what I'm talking about, on the road?
Yeah. I mean, it was a very interesting location because, like, it was right next to the highway, which was right next to the ocean. So when you're going to sleep, you're going to sleep to this, like, weird symphony of ocean waves crashing and then, like, cars zooming by.
Yeah, it was nice. It was a little hot, if I remember correctly.
Well, I got sunburned at Channel Island, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely hot.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was fun. Camping was fun. That was the... Was it the end of the trip? We left everything we couldn't bring home in the hotel. We shoved in the cabinet.
Yeah. A lot of firewood.
We went to Target and we didn't have bags and we just assumed we could buy them. But we spent like $100. They were like, yeah, you got to bring your own bags. And we're like, we're not buying bags. So we just carried everything to the car.
Yep.
That was fun. That was a fun trip.
But yeah, so that pretty much concludes the first half of our trip to Southern California.
A little preview, I guess, right?
Yep.
A little preview is we went up towards Joshua Tree. We spent how many days did we spend there? Two, three?
Two half days.
And then we went Joshua Tree, did a lot there. It was hot. We'll talk about the infamous Italian place.
Yeah.
That's a story for I think I have a picture of the mural from that terrible place. I'll try and find it. And then what else did we do in the back half of that trip? It was that
Cabrillo National Monument. And then we did some more time in Santa Monica Mountains and Channel Islands.
Oh yeah, I do remember that. We went to the visitor center, right? At the Channel Islands.
The mainland.
Yeah.
We did the mainland portion of Channel Islands.
Yeah. Speaking of visitor centers, let's get into our top three of the week segment here. Top three visitor centers, Ryan.
Yeah. So number three for me is actually preview for next week, the Channel Islands National Park Visitor Center. And I love this one because it's a pretty large visitor center, and it even has an aquarium, which I think is pretty unique for a national park visitor center. And like it has Garibaldi's, which we actually did see when we were departing onto the ferry. Those are the really bright orange fish, and they're the state fish of California. So that was pretty cool. Number two for me is the Ernest F. Coe Visitor Center in Everglades National Park. And this is another very large visitor center. It has a bunch of cool dioramas of all the wildlife there. It has a great gift shop with a big book selection. I actually got Shadow Country, which was this really good book about an actual gunslinger / outlaw that tried to live in the Everglades, and it's told from multiple perspectives. Would highly recommend. And then my number one visitor center in the National Park Service is the White House Visitor Center. And this is on its own campus. It has tons of artifacts from all the presidents, and it's updated consistently. Every time there's a new president, it's updated a lot. So updated frequently, pretty cool. How about you, Andrew?
Definitely at number three is Everglades. Everglades, the one you just talked about. It had this really nice wraparound. Nice wraparound porch. We got to sit on.
Oh, I forgot about the outside portion. It's even better now.
Yeah. Yeah. That was my favorite part. At number two, I would say, I want to say the Dry Tortugas Visitor Center. I know it was small, the little area, but it was nice.
Okay.
I liked it because Dry Tortugas is like one of the most remote parks we'll ever go to, unless we, you know, hit Alaska anytime soon. But, you know, and number one, has to be the White House, because they had so many cool artifacts. As you said, they update it constantly. But the one downside I have with that was the security to get in is very tight security, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, you do have to go through a metal detector.
Yeah. Unique, but you know, for a park visitor center, and you when you walk out, you can see the White House on your left, right? I'm trying to think now.
It's left and like kind of forward.
Yeah, but it's DC's will always be like have some of my top favorite memories and sights there.
Oh, great city!
Yeah. Definitely want to go back this year. We'll plan that at some point. But that wraps up California part one. Well, this was Parkmanship. My name's Andrew.
And I'm Ryan.
And thanks for joining us today.